Now, last week, you may remember, those of you who were here, we saw that the new man is distinguished by five characteristics. Undoubtedly, there were lots of others, but these seem to stand out. Characteristics of self-consciousness or awareness, true individuality, creativity, aloneness, and frequent unpopularity. So let us just pause for a moment before going into this question of what is art, and just see, briefly, how these five characteristics of the new man apply to the artist, whether poet or painter, sculptor, musician, and so on. First of all, the artist is more self-conscious or more aware. The artist, we may even say, the true artist, is more alive than other people. And this is very often revealed by the fact that he's more sensitive, in the full sense of the term, in the best sense of the term, than people usually are. We know that the painter is much more vividly, much more keenly aware of differences of shape, of contour, differences of colour and so on, much more alive to, much more aware of these things than other people. I think I've mentioned before in previous lectures that if you happen to go out with an artist friend, say, into the country, whether it's in the spring or in the autumn or some other time of year, you'll notice, you'll observe, you can't help observing, that he sees more than you do. He'll call your attention to something. Maybe the outline of that tree against the sky, or the colours of a fallen leaf, or of a withered flower, or shadows cast by something, blue shadows cast by trees on the grass. And he'll point out to you that those shadows are blue, and you maybe haven't noticed that, or almost certainly haven't noticed that. The painter has a much keener eye. He's much more aware of what's going on in the outside world, in the world of shapes and forms and colours. And in the same way with the musician has a much keener ear. He can detect differences of notes, which we perhaps can't detect. I remember that when I was in India, I was astonished by the subtleties sometimes of the drumming in Indian music, the subtleties of their drum playing. And these were difficult to detect, difficult to follow sometimes, even by a person, even by an Indian, who was comparatively experienced, comparatively trained in these things. There were sometimes unbelievable refinements and delicacies in the playing of that particular instrument. Sometimes the drum would be made to whisper, almost like a voice whispering. Sometimes it would be very staccato, sometimes it was soft, sometimes as it were grumbling. One could get the drums almost to speak. And sometimes at subtle differences that, as I've said, only the trained ear of the musician could possibly detect them and know that there was either something right or something wrong. Then again, we find that the poet is equally sensitive to the meaning and the value and the rhythm of words. We use words most of the time, but use them in a very careless, a very coarse sort of way, not fully aware or not fully sensitive to the value and the meaning and even the texture of the words. I've already mentioned this evening the name of Edith Sitwell, and in this connection some of her comments on words and their different values are of very great interest. She's not satisfied with speaking just of the meaning of words and the length or shortness of the syllables and so on, but she speaks in terms of the tone of words. She speaks in terms of the texture of words, that some words are rough and others are smooth, and some words are even hairy, she says. And then again of the weight of words, some words are light, some words are heavy. So she, being a poet, is sensitive to all this, which usually we are not. And in the same way, the artist, of whatsoever kind, is much more aware of his own response to all these things, his own mental and his own emotional states. Not just in the sense of reflecting upon them more than we do, but in the sense of experiencing these states much more intensely and in a much more concentrated manner than other people. And then again, we may say that the artist usually is more aware of other people than is usually the case. And we see this especially in a very, very highly developed form in the work of the great portrait painters, in the work of the great dramatists and the great novelists. We see that in their works, other people, people of past ages and distant countries, live. I remember some time ago I saw in an art gallery a portrait painted, I think it was early in the Renaissance period, and I forget by whom it was painted, but it was a portrait of a pope. And you saw by looking at him that he must have been a very wicked pope. You could see all in his face, every bit of it. You could see everything he'd ever done practically in that portrait, in that face. You could see in his eyes, in the texture of the skin, in the shape of the mouth, and his rather grim, fixed expression. You could see that he must have come to the papacy by corruption. It was written all over his face, and much more than that. You could see all sorts of things. You could almost reconstruct his biography just from that portrait. The artist, the painter, whoever he was, had seen it all, and had not only seen it, but he'd put it all down there on that canvas in pigment. And as I said, we see the same sort of thing in the dramatists, especially dramatists like Shakespeare. We see the same sort of thing in the great novelists. And we can see how clearly and how intensely these great artists, they do see other people. I remember, again, to take an example from painting, that I used to think when I was much younger that Hogarth's paintings of people were caricatures. But after being acquainted, one might say, with people a bit more for a few more years and maybe observing them more closely, I came to realize that Hogarth was simply being deadly accurate. People were actually like that. He wasn't exaggerating anything. He wasn't laying anything on thick. He wasn't a caricaturist. He just saw them as they were. And as they were, he depicted them in his paintings and in his engraving, saw them, in fact, with almost terrifying, almost clairvoyant honesty and directness. But above all, we may say the artist is aware not just of the external world, not just of himself, not just of other people. The artist is aware in some sort of incomprehensible way of reality. Not in the sense that he's aware of or knows the concepts, the word with a capital R, but in the sense that he is deeply and, as it were, resonantly sensitive to the meaning and the mystery of existence itself. It's this that he feels, this mystery of existence, whether cosmic or human.